Okay, so I want to talk to you about tonight about knowing the favor of God. Everybody say, knowing the favor of God. And I want to testify before I start because I've started to walk in this understanding the favor of God, knowing the favor of God, knowing that God is for me. We're going to look at that passage. But once you really are convinced that God is on your side, listen to me, worry goes out the window. Worry is a byproduct of you not understanding how much God is for you. And once you start to get that understanding how much God is for you, you will be, your life, your quality of life is going to go through the roof. Because I'm not saying that you won't have challenges. I'm just saying you will very quickly go, God's got that. I'm not worried about that. I'm not concerned about that. You know what? I'm casting my cares upon God. And it's not like a casting, you're casting your care and you're just saying, really, it's like, God, listen, when you understand how much God is for you, you casting your care on God is such an easy thing. Amen. And you're not always, you're not concerned about how it's going to turn out. Because you really start to understand, oh, I tell you what, it's going to turn out good. And I'm talking about bad, I'm talking about situations that are really, really negative. And you're just thinking, ooh, you know, before you were like, ooh, you're just thinking, oh, you know what? You know what it is? It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. And you're not, there's a place that God wants you to walk in where you're not, you're not pushing it through. You're not straining. You're not stressing. You're not, I mean, you have an opportunity, but you're just not taking those opportunities. You're in your mind, you have it, you're so confident that God is going to take care of you, that God is on your side, that it almost becomes laughable. It is laughable about Satan. You know what? About your life going the wrong direction. It's just laughable. And so we're going to look at a passage that you're familiar with, but I want to show you some things in this passage. I made a reference to it Sunday, but we didn't have time to really jump into it. So, but we're going to look at it today. So let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and look at verse 6. What's that? Chapter 6. Yeah, chapter 6. I'm sorry. And let's start with verse, let's start with verse 8. 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. When the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him, thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. This is reoccurring. So it's kind of like God has a spy in the enemy's camp, but there's no spy there. He's just getting words of knowledge. Are you catching this?
Yeah.
And it's happening over and over again. Verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled. Everybody say greatly troubled. By this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? See, he thinks there's a spy. And let me tell you why he thinks there's a spy. Because he's in the natural. See, everything's not in the natural. Somebody say they're supernatural. But people don't recognize that. The king of Syria, he didn't recognize what's going on. There's something supernaturally happened, but he's just looking at the natural. That's why he goes to those who are in charge, and he's like, okay, guys, tell me, which one of you is, you know what, the spy? Because I know it's one of you. We can do the same thing. Don't listen to Sunday's sermon again. Don't stay in the natural. Get into the supernatural. Understand the supernatural is there for you if you will recognize it's there for us. Verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my Lord. There's no spy. Let me tell you what's going on. O king, but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you speak. There's a God up above, and he hears every word you say. And you are going to be measured by the same way you measure it out. Ooh, that's good singing, Pastor. That's bad singing, but that's good theology. Okay, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? You be careful what you say. You think that you can say stuff in secret. You think that you can talk about somebody in secret and somebody doesn't know what's going on. Listen, you need to understand, not only does God know what's going on, but God can reveal that to people. Do you know that's true? I got a text to prove this is so. Amen? 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 Remember when David was going through that?
Yeah.
See, you think you're going to whisper? You think you're going to just gossip in your car? Nobody's going to know what you're saying? Uh-uh. People know what's up. God knows what's up, amen?
Amen?
And there are times that God, that's what God did. He revealed it to Jonathan. Jonathan, you know what? Call him out on it. Amen? All I'm saying is, understand, when you talk about someone else in the bedroom, in your private, there is no private. Look at your neighbor and say, there is no private. So, and how many know this is why we come to church? How many know this is why we come to church? We come to church that we could, you know what, that the man or the woman who is been placed over you can speak and reveal something in the word. Not that you couldn't read that today yourself. Amen. But that we could come together and all smile. You know what I mean? How many know God wants to take care of stuff in secret? How many know that's what he prefers? You mean? We all just smile here. You know what I mean? But those of us who are speaking, you know what? A bunch of stuff. Ephesians says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. That we could receive, you know what? What God has to say for us, and we can make an adjustment today. Amen? Amen. How many know to make an adjustment today? You know what? I had one lady tell me one time. She said, I probably told you this before, but it was way back in the day. We were in the North Sanctuary, and she told me one Sunday, she said, man, that was good preaching, Pastor, but you made me mad today. And she said, you made me so mad last week. She said that I had to just go home. I was so mad at you. Well, listen, don't get mad at me for telling you the truth. Amen. Amen, right? You know, don't get mad at the pizza guy for, you know, delivering the pizza. Amen. How many are happy when the pizza guy comes? Come on, well, be happy when God told you something. Amen. I don't got anything against you. I'm for you. Amen. And here's the thing, God's for you. So if you need to make an adjustment in your life in that area, make adjustment. Amen. Don't continue to do that thinking that you're not going to reap what you sow. Bible says don't be deceived. God's not going to be mocked. And with the same measure that you measure it out, you know what I mean, that critical spirit, that's the same measure that God's going to judge you with. Say, Pastor, how do we know that? Because that's what Jesus said. Read it. Matthew chapter 7. That's what he said. You want to know what's in that text? In that text, it's when he's saying, you know what? Get the log out of your eye. It's a critical spirit. And listen, and for some of you, I'm still smiling, aren't I? For some of you, you pick that up because that's how your parents had a critical spirit. Some of you need to listen. I don't know who this is for. Some of you need to listen to what you're saying. Like I told you, you've dealt with people like this. Every other word is, you know, an F word. You know what I mean? F bomb. And many of these people, if you said, you know, do you recognize, man? You've just been, they would say, I don't know what you're talking about. And as they're saying, what are you talking about? They'd say three F words in that sentence too. See, sometimes we just get so acclimated to who we are, our systems, and particularly if that's where you were raised. Amen? Or, listen, birds of a feather flock together. I said birds of a feather flock together. And so a lot of times what happens is, you know what? You will gravitate to those gossipers. How many know gossiping is takes two? I don't gossip. I just sit there and listen to people talk about somebody else. Oh. No. Everybody say the talker is the gossiper. And the hearer is the gossiper. Woohoo! Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. Does somebody think I'm preaching good today? Amen. Okay, and I'm just saying, you know, oh, that's not even in the text. It's exactly in the text. It's exactly in the text. He knows what he's saying. And I'm telling you, God knows what you're saying. You know what? And you don't want to, you don't want to get on that. You don't want to be in that. What you want to be is you want to be a blesser of people. Because what you're doing is you're cursing people. You don't want to be there. You want to be a blesser of people. You know what I mean? Amen. Here, let's go over this. Does anybody think Richard has any problems? Any problems at all? Oh, now you're lying. They're being sweet. Does everybody know? Just trust me. I'm going to get to you too in a minute. Does everybody know Richard has issues? Does everybody know that Rebecca has issues? Does everybody know? Are you catching this? Now, how many know we could keep on going? And are we going to get to somebody that we just go, oh, they don't? Can I go around? You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be rude to these two. But you understand the point. There's nobody in this room that, so let's shut us thou upeth. Amen? Because what I want to do is I want to cover up someone's stuff. Are you hearing me? That's what I want to do. I don't want to be part of that. Amen. And so you have to recognize where is that going on mostly? I said, where is that going on mostly? In your bedroom. Right? In your car. You mean in where you don't think anybody's listening. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God is listening. And you want to get away from that stuff. Amen. And think about it. What do they need? You're a Christian. What do they need you to do? They don't need you to add to the stronghold. They need you to say, yeah. He got his issues. But I tell you what, I've never seen anybody, you know what, as cheery as this guy. I tell you what, that guy might, you know, I don't know about all that. But here's what I do know. Are you catching this? You know, here's what I do. To figure out, think on that which is good. That's what the Bible says. I don't know about all that. You know what I mean? I mean, just play dumb. You know what I mean? I don't know about all that. Because here's the truth. You don't know about all that. You got, I don't tell you. I know this. I know that. You don't know nothing. Amen. You think you know something. And here, let me prove my point. You have no idea where you'd be if you were raised with those parents and 8 kids and you had to, you know what, you have no idea. Amen. That's a critical spirit. And you need to shutteth thou upeth. Amen. And you need to use your words to bless people. Amen. You don't curse no one. Amen. Now, I don't know about all that. And start to shut the mouth of those people. You just get in there. You know, many of you, you know, we just have no tolerance of this. We should have no tolerance of this in the body of Christ. You know what? And I tell you what, if you started calling these people out like you should be calling these people out, it would shut them up. Amen. 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 All right, all that's free. That's just part of the, amen. Can somebody say thank you for that? So he's saying, this guy is saying, there's something going on. And let me tell you, there's no spy going on, but God can hear what you're saying. And that's what's going on. That's the problem. That's the issue. There's no spy here. God just hears what you're saying. Verse 12, and none of his servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is that I might send and get him. And he told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan, which is interesting because, hello? Like, God's not going to figure that one out. Is that silliness? Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots, and fire all around Elijah. Now listen, all around Elijah. So, look at verse 16. And he said, do not fear. Everybody say, do not fear. See, Elijah understands, you've got no reason to be afraid. If we would see in this with our spiritual eyes that God is for us, what's going on, we wouldn't fear. Or, you know what? Satan is a terrorizer. He wants to terrorize us. But the only thing that he has to use is his intimidation tricks to shoot a thought that is going to cause us to think, oh, that's going to happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen, and then we start to walk in fear. Are you seeing this? And Elijah says, hey, dude, don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid. Nothing that you do from fear will fix anything in your life. Ain't going to fix anything in your life. When Tim and I first got here, when we met with the leadership of the church, I started seeing these reoccurring things. I mean, we needed to make some changes in this church. And over and over and over again, as we were talking to the leadership, I would sense this junk come up, and it was, but Pastor, we can't because this might happen. And I started seeing this reoccurring system. And what I recognize is it was a system of fear. So over here, there was no carpet on the floor. This was a founder's hall. This was a fellowship hall. How many know we don't have a fellowship hall anymore? How many know we're going to build our own fellowship hall? Okay, we don't have a fellowship hall. This was our fellowship hall. But when you come in here to have dinners, we have those tables in the back. We would set those tables up and to have a dinner or something. And the ceiling was here, you know, which was problematic. The floor was this hard, old style of, remember like in the schools, it's just like this tile kind of, no, it's not linoleum. It's anyway, it's really funky. But it's very hard. The point is, it's very, very hard. You can clean it real well, which is cool for that. But they put them in cafeterias all the time. That's why they put it down here, because you can clean it. But it's the worst. So all we had was hard surface, hard surface, hard surface. You get more than 50 people in here, and you can't. And you're trying to talk at the table, and you can barely hear somebody talk. Do you remember this? I was crazy. You know what I mean? And so we're like, oh, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? And somebody said, well, you need to have these. You need to have these. You need to treat the wall with these treatments. It's a soundproofing, and that's what you need to do. Well, and churches do them all the time. You know, it costs you $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to put these things on the wall. Wow. So we were like, oh, we can't do that. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Some guy said, well, that's easy. Just put carpet on the floor. You'll take care of 80% of your problem, because it's just going to suck up all the sound. You know, and that's your problem. I mean, that will take care of 80% of your problem right there. Well, you know, you think everybody, all the leaders should be happy. Yay, pastor came up with the answer. No, they weren't happy. You know what they said? They said, we can't do it. Because you know what? We serve food. You know, that's where the food, you know what I mean? I got this revelation, I don't know, about a week later. I'm in a Sizzler right down the street. I'm in a Sizzler down the street. And I looked down, and you know what I saw? I saw a carpet. I said, this is, you know, it's like, I mean, no, sometimes you know what I'm thinking, you know, oh, carpet, you know what I mean? They have these things. They're called shampooers, you know what I mean? You know what? Sizzler probably owns one, you know what I mean? You can buy them at Home Depot. How many know they spill a lot more food over at Sizzler than we're going to spill here? Hello? Well, why are they doing that? Because they're just, and that's what happens. Many times we are just so used to thinking, what's the worst case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? It's living in doubt. It's living in fear. It's living in afraid. And that's not how we're called to do. Fear goes to worst case scenario all the time. Fear goes to worst case scenario all the time. You know, you go in to the doctor, you know what? And I think it's just how they're trained. They have a tendency to tell you what is the worst case scenario. We're not sure, but this might be. How many know they're going to tell you what is the worst thing? We don't know for sure, but because they feel obligated. That's how they've been trained. You know what? And you need to be trained too. Amen? This is a training center. You need to be trained that Jesus is your healer. Yes, that by his stripes you're healed. Amen? Amen? That needs to be just ingrained in us. You know, they ask you, well, what about, you know what? What about your parents? You know, they give you a list of stuff to tell you about how jacked up your parents were. Well, doctor, you should have known that before I came in. My parents were jacked up. Amen? But how many know your jacked up parents don't mean you have to be jacked up? Right. And the doctor thinks the way that doctor thinks physiologically that, you know what, your parents' jacked upness means your jacked upness. And you've got to stand there and say, at least in your mind, you know what, probably some of you need to do it in the office, in the doctor's office. Say, you know what, I'm sorry, doctor, I just ain't going there with you. Amen? Are you learning something? See, healing is ours, amen? Whether you take it or not is a different subject. That's not up to me. But you have to be taught this, or you're going to be taught this from this pulpit, in this church. Because of Jesus. Because of his stripes, you were healed. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Jesus went around. That's what he did. He healed people. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I do the works that the dad does. And the Bible says, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's receive, you know what? Sickness and disease is part of the curse. Amen. That we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's what the Bible says. Are you learning something? We don't need to pray for God's presence. Listen. We don't need to pray for God's presence because he is already present. Oh, see, I didn't get a big amen on that one. See, but listen to me. Let your thinking be filtered through the word of God. Amen. I've said some of the most stupid things come out of my mouth. In prayer. I pray, oh God, you know what I mean? You'll start, and you just, no, let the words that we say be filtered through the word of God. Did the Bible say that God has promised never to leave you or forsake you? Is that what it says, or does it not say that? Then what in the world are we saying stuff that's, you know what? Oh, you know what? We don't need to pray for God's presence because he's already present. Deuteronomy. Guys in the back, go to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and look at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 31, look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Who's them? These are the you know what, the you know what, the giants, you know, the bears and the, you know, oh my, what's that? Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. You know what? That's right. These are all the enemies that the Israel had. And he says, listen, don't be afraid. Somebody say, why, Pastor? Why shouldn't we be afraid? Here's why. Look. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. See, that's why you don't need to be afraid. That's why you don't need to walk in fear.
Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know what to do. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without reproach. Amen. You know what to do. Stop saying you don't know what to do. Start speaking the truth. Man, I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have God. But thank God, he said in his word, all I have to do is ask, and he's going to give me the answers. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting into Sunday sermon. But how many know sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit does, where we're saying what God says. We don't have to walk in fear. We have no reason. If you are fearing, you are allowing Satan to rip you off, because you don't have to be afraid about your life. Why? Because he's promised. You know what is one of the most reoccurring themes and even sayings in the whole Bible? Here it is. He'll promise never to leave you or forsake you. Leaving, speaking of his physical presence, forsaking, talking about emotional and his denying you. He won't ever leave your physical presence, and he won't ever deny you. That's who he is. In the face of lions and tigers and bears, you can say, oh my. You say, oh my. God is going to annihilate you. Oh my. See, be afraid for them, not you. I like what David said. David said, you know what, mama? You know what David said? David said, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. And then, you know what he said also? And then he said, and all your brothers and sisters, I don't know anything he said sisters, I don't want to exaggerate, but all the other Philistines that are, you know, thinking they're so bad because those Israelites are all afraid. They don't know. They don't know what they're doing. They're afraid. They have no reason to be afraid. And I got no reason to be afraid of you. You know why? Because you're an uncircumcised Philistine. You know what that meant? That meant I've got a covenant with God. You don't. And neither does any of your other friends that are Philistines. So not only are we feeding, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds, but then we're coming after your brothers. And we're going to jack them up too. We're going to kill them. Let me tell you, we're going to kill you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill you today. Do you catch this? You catch that kind of terminology needs to be used? You know what? We're like, what's going to happen? you know what? You have no reason to act that way. Because you have a God that loves you, that's promised never to leave you or forsake you. Amen. Are you catching this?
Yeah.
Never. Hebrews chapter 13. Well, yeah, but pastor, that's the Old Testament. Can I tell you this? Be careful. Be careful. The Old Testament is part of our covenant.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, it's all throughout the Word of God. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Help is not on the way. Help is already here. Help is not on the way. Help is already here. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. And look at what Paul's praying. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What is Paul praying? You know what Paul's praying? Somebody figure this out. What is Paul praying? Paul's praying the same thing that who else prayed? Elijah, thank you. He's praying the same thing that Elijah prayed. God, help him to see, watch this, what really is. See, I'm not, you listen, those, think of Elijah. Elijah's like, you know what, I don't know if they had Starbucks back then. Okay, I'm joking. They didn't have Starbucks back then. But what I'm saying is Elijah's kicking back, you know what I mean? He's in his tent drinking his, Hebrews and, that was funny, Hebrews. He's in his tent, you know what, drinking his coffee, chilling out. He's not like, oh, what are we going to do? There's so many of them. This is a great point. Sometimes we spend so much time looking at the problem that we don't understand what the solution is. How many know the solution was bigger than the problem? I said, here, I'll give you another chance to say amen. How many know the solution was bigger than the problem?
Amen.
Yeah, how do you know that? Because he said there's more of us than they are of them. So the issue isn't, here's my prayer for you. God, help us to see clearly how favorable we are in your eyes. You are for us. He's praying the same prayer. The eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, which what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, he's praying. Well, look, we'll have to go into this next week. Trust me, you have enough to chomp on today. If you will just meditate on the reality that, and listen, and I could give you example after example after example after example of men of God in the face of death who aren't walking in fear. Because they know. They know that God is obligated to protect them. They know that God is obligated, you know what, to be on their side. They know that God is on their side. And so even though they might not see, I mean, Peter's in jail. What's Peter doing? Peter is so sound asleep that the angel who goes down there to get him has to kick him in the side to wake him up. Is this not right? See, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said that we shouldn't walk in fear. Fear not. Why are we afraid? I've promised. It's good that I go. Because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to comfort you. See, when you get a thought comes in your head of worst case scenario. You're thinking, oh, I can't. It probably won't happen. You're thinking worst case scenario. Pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying. That's one of the reasons why it's so important that you read your Bible every day. Because when you read your Bible every day, that Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And what that does, rereading your Bible every day, you start to get incline your ears to his understanding. That inclining your ears has to do with you, and this, you know, most of you are old enough to remember this, but when the dial is, remember when they didn't have a button, you know, you didn't go up and down the radio station with a button, you used this dial. You couldn't go from, you know what, 106 to 94 in 1 second by pressing a button. You had to dial it down. But remember when you were dialing it and you'd get close to station and you'd have to get it, it would, you know, but you could do it. You could go, perfect, got it, and then station. Okay, what is that? That's when you're reading the Word of God and you're tuning into, you're inclining your ear. You're tuning your ear to go, okay, yeah, that's how God speaks. That's what he's speaking. And can I tell you what? The Spirit of God is speaking inside you all the time. But so often, we have got our tuner so out of whack. Can I tell you what? God is not into. Think about this. When the Bible says, you know what? Think on that which is good. I can't think of more opposite than listening to the news. Because let me tell you about the news. The news is not news. You know what the news is? Bad news. No, think about it for a minute. They will scan the whole United States to figure out where the strife is. Who got killed. And listen, this is true. If they got a story where 8 people got killed and they got another story that 38 people got killed, they're taking the 38 over the 8 every time. Every time. Why? Because this is a bigger news story. No, it's not a bigger news story. It's just badder news. How many know 8's not as bad as 38? Come on. How many sharp here? It's so you know what, they go from that to this, this person and there, you know, and everything. You know what? You know, are they gonna tell you about the Hollywood couple that has been together? I mean it takes I'm gonna say you might be hard pressed to find this couple. But are they gonna find the couple in Hollywood that have been married for 38 years or 24 years? Are they gonna tell you about that? This couple, you know, celebrated their 28th anniversary. Is that gonna be a news story? No, what's gonna be the news story? You know what? This couple got divorced, and not only got divorced, but you know what? He was on this movie over there and kissing her, and she was on this movie over there kissing him, but the him and the her weren't the him and her. You catching this? You know, that's what they're going to tell you. And you know what? And that's the station you need to tune off. You know what? Get rid of that and get your Bible out and start listening to some good news. Listen, you can't listen to that, and not get into this negative stuff. All right, I'll close with one story. I was, this is back in the day, but remember when OJ was all that, you know, OJ? Well, when I would go to work, I was still working at Albert Grocery Store. I lived in San Gabriel, and my shift was usually 4 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock, maybe 5 o'clock, but right in that dinner hour, I'd have to go in, usually about 4 o'clock. So I'd be driving up, and there was this radio show. I forget what they're called now, Ken and John or John and Ken or something. And they, for that whole thing, what they did is they just did OJ, 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 OJ. And so, and you know, of course, that was interesting, right? And so that's what I listened to all the way up, all the way up, all the way, you know what I mean? Take me 25 minutes to go to work, and I'd find, you know, and just listen to OJ, you know, all the gossip about OJ. And I remember about that same time, I would just started to have problems sleeping and had problems just having anxiety concerning finances. And I never had any anxiety. I was just like, God can take care of me. And it was starting to get real. I mean, just uncomfortable, you know. I was worrying about all kinds of stuff. And I asked God, I said, God, what is the problem here? And I was like, what do you think the problem is? You listen to all that gossip, doubt, unbelief, negative. You know what I mean? And you just listen to that stuff, you know, for 25 minutes a day. You just take this complete diet of trash. And you know what? Don't be deceived. I won't be mocked. Whatever you're going to sow, you're going to reap. You're just reaping this fear. Amen? No, 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 no. We don't got time for that. Look at your neighbor and say, we don't got time for that. We don't have time for this. We don't have time. No, no. We're going to acclimate. Here's what I'm going to confess over you. You're going to acclimate yourself to the Word of God. You're going to remind yourself that your promise. If you just read the Bible every day, you're going to find this over and over again through the Word that God has promised never to leave you or forsake you. Amen. You know what he's saying when he says that in Deuteronomy? He's telling this to Joshua, saying, hey, Joshua, don't be afraid. Moses is telling him, don't be afraid, man. You're going to have enemies out there. Just don't be afraid of those enemies. Amen. I'm not saying you ain't going to have challenges. I'm saying stop being afraid of those challenges. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we haven't been left like orphans. Father, we thank you that we're strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And thank you, Father, that we have strong marriages. We thank you we have strong bodies. We thank you that we are not the borrower. We're the lender. Amen. Father, we thank you for your promises to us. And we thank you that you go before us and make the crooked path straight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.